Peter Tuz, president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, is here. And we're talking growth stocks today in the Money Life Market Call. It's Market Call time here on Money Life, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for, what they see happening in the market today, how they put it all together to decide this is what I'm going to buy, that's what I'm going to hold, and that other stuff is what I'm going to avoid altogether. My guest today is Peter Tuz, president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, which, well, it was the Chase Large Cap Growth Fund, but it's now the Chase Growth Fund, which became an all-cap growth fund early this year. It basically was part of a change in the mandate. It doesn't change the style, however. We're still looking at growth stocks with the same methodology. But if you want to learn more about, well, A, the fund, B, what's changed about the fund, and C, the investment style itself, go to chaseinv.com, the website for Chase Investment Counsel. Peter Tuz, great to have you back on Money Life.
Good to hear from you too, Chuck. I hope all is well.
It is. I'm doing remarkably well in the pandemic time, and I'm hoping that everybody else can say the same, even as we know not everybody can. But, you know, doing well is not always the same as investing well. And these are certainly interesting times that we're living in. But before we get to what you see happening broadly, we need to know what you look for. It's growth stocks, but growth means different things to different people. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, Chuck, excellent question. We are kind of, I will put us more in the GARP category. We're definitely looking for growth stocks, but we pay a lot of attention to valuation as well.
When you talk about growth at a reasonable price, how much are you willing to sort of make that trade-off? In other words, are there times when you're looking for something to be what would be considered a cheap stock and it has just enough growth that at this price it works? Is it you want to see a certain amount of growth? How do you balance the two? Because on the GARP scale, you can go like, hey, I've got really growthy, but I'm paying a higher price for it. I'm getting it a higher value. Or I've got really cheap, but giving me any growth at that price would be good. So how do you determine what meets your...
So depending on the economic climate, we like to see companies that have 10% earnings growth for the last 5 years. I mean, we might bend that in a weak economy to 8% or so. And then at the other end, we're not afraid of companies that are selling for very high valuations as long as it's accompanied by very high earnings growth. We're very focused on the PEG ratio, the PE ratio to a company's earnings growth. So, you know, a company with 10% earnings growth selling for 10 times earnings is attractive to us. A company with 40% earnings growth selling at 40 times earnings is also attractive to us. It's that PEG ratio that's important.
Right now, obviously, growth and the potential for growth kind of thrown in the mixer here. I mean, it's a little tough to look out and say, ooh, I can forecast growth. Does that make it that certain industries are completely off limits until they normalize? You know, you said in a pinch, in a low growth environment, you might be willing to come down a little bit. What's your view of the big picture?
Yeah, the big picture now is, you know, there is more uncertainty in the outlook for earnings for the next year or so than I guess any time in a decade. Yet we're still able to find companies that are doing reasonably well and some doing very well in this environment.
Such as? I mean, where are you looking right now?
Such as. I will give you an example of two recent purchases for the fund. One would be Dropbox, DBX. Most people, many people are probably familiar with Dropbox. I would call Dropbox somewhat of a pandemic play in that it is a company that helps people work collaboratively. And as we all know, a lot of us are working at home these days, yet we still have a need to communicate with coworkers, share documents with coworkers, store things, etc. So Dropbox is a play on that business, much as Zoom is a play on video conferencing.
So with a stock like a Dropbox, on the one hand, it's a pandemic play. On the other hand, does that mean you go in with a short-term view? Does it change your outlook? Because you're looking for growth at a reasonable price. You're getting perhaps heightened growth because of the pandemic. Does it change these odd circumstances where you could see a surge, but you also have a reason to believe that that surge might ease up? Does that change your time horizon at all?
You know, that's an excellent question, and that's one of the great uncertainties of the day, in that you are going to see a surge in earnings for a lot of work-at-home companies, and then that growth is bound to moderate some. But I think I think it is a trend that is not going to end, and it's drawn attention to these companies and how easy it is in some cases to work from home versus going to an office every day. So I think, you know, there'll be a heightened awareness and rate of growth for these companies for several years running now.
Okay, so Dropbox is one example. You said there were two.
Yeah, the second example, and I wouldn't exactly call it a pandemic play, but it's also been helped by the COVID epidemic, is QTS Realty Trust, symbol QTS. That is a real estate investment trust that specializes in data centers, not just in major markets, but in secondary markets around the country. We all know that, you know, the demand to store data is just growing at an exponential rate. It's been accelerated by the COVID pandemic, but it's going to stay high as more work from home, more shop from home, more artificial intelligence, and ultimately the Internet of Things requires more data to be gathered, and it is stored somewhere, and in the QTSs of the world is where it's stored.
With all of this, I mean, we're talking about the things that you're buying. What makes you sell, and how much cash are you willing to hold? Because obviously, in a market like this one, if growth is going away, are you keeping powder dry, or are you doing relative growth at a reasonable price?
And that's an excellent question as well. We had raised nearly 20% cash towards the end of March. You know, we had been selling stocks on the way down, and we raised roughly 20% cash by the end of March. We have since deployed a fair amount of that cash, probably half of it, and now would have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10-13% cash. But with the market looking pretty strong right now, we will probably deploy more cash over the next week or two.
And in terms of the sell discipline, I mean, are you giving anyone any leeway right now? In other words, you know, you talked about you're looking for 10% growth. You're willing to take 8 under market conditions. But if you see a business where you know there's a slowdown and you don't know obviously why the slowdown is, does anybody get a break?
Some companies do get breaks if we can identify, and you hit the nail on the head, the source of the slowdown. This is a temporary thing. But there are other industries where we think the slowdown might be more than temporary. I'm thinking retail in particular. We look for companies. We look to sell companies that don't meet the earnings expectations, that have a permanent outlook for slower growth, and we just don't see a turnaround. They're usually candidates for sale, as well as companies that have done really well and hit our price target, and companies that, we just don't have a good outlook on the future.
It's really interesting these times we are living in. Out of curiosity, are there specific industries, you know, we talked about some of the COVID-related things, but are there other places where right now you think here's an industry that is particularly attractive, or is it still across the board case by case and you can't find the growth you're looking for necessarily in any places?
So we do a set of weekly screens, Chuck, and you see a lot of companies on this morning screen in the healthcare technology areas. You're starting to see consumer discretionary and communication services pop up in a pretty big way. You've yet to see many energy names pop up, and only a smattering of financials.
Well, now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Peter Tuz. He is the president of Chase Investment Counsel, co-manager of the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, the ticker symbol. Go to chaseinv.com to learn more about the firm and the fund. Again, the fund had been large cap only, is now an all cap fund. And chaseinv.com, the place to go to learn more about it. Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guests to your test. If you want to test our guests yourself, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. We're going to start with two requests we got from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is for Baxter International, ticker symbol BAX.
Chuck, I would call Baxter a buy at these levels. The company, as we all know, is heavily involved in healthcare, and I think healthcare is on an elevated plane in some ways right now, especially for the types of products that Baxter seems to make. They're very heavily involved in things involved in intravenous delivery of medicine, testings, etc. So I'm calling Baxter a buy. The stock is holding there pretty well. It's probably only down about $10 from its all-time high, 95 to 86 or so. Decent earnings growth, not so much this year, but next year we're looking for, 15% earnings growth. So I count Baxter a buy here.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
That's a buy on Baxter International, BAX. Richard's other request is for Pebble Brook Hotel Trust, ticker symbol PEB.
Hotel industry is tough right now, and the REIT industry is in some ways tough as well. I'm going to call, and I don't like to do this because it's not their fault, I'm going to call Pebble Brook a sell. You know, for the first time in my 30-year career as an analyst, portfolio manager, I have absolutely no travel plans right now. And I'm just thinking that travel is going to be slow to come back. The company's already, I believe, suspended its dividend, and REITs tend to have a fairly high debt level. So they're just warning signs that would keep me away from this one for now.
This looks extraordinarily bad.
It's a fold, a sell on Pebble Brook Hotel Trust, PEB. Our next request comes from Mike in Redwood City, California, who wants to know about Site Centers Corp, ticker symbol SITC.
Yeah, Site is also a REIT, but they tend to specialize in community shopping centers that have grocery stores, drug stores, and a lot of service businesses in between. Life has not been pretty for them as of late. I would call that a hold right now. I think they suspended their dividend as well, but they do more essentials versus discretionary items as hotel travel is. So, you know, not a buy because these are still risky stocks right now. Everybody knows retailing is tough, and REITs do have a lot of debt, but a hold on an eventual recovery.
So where Pebble Brook Hotel Group was, you know, good company, bad stock, here we've got good company and the stock that you can hang on to in Site Centers Corp, ticker symbol SITC.
No money changes hands today.
Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, wants to know about Polaris Industries, PII.
Oh, gosh. Polaris is a tough one right now because they make excellent products, but with unemployment so high and the outlook, you know, for growth, for employment coming back so tentative right now, I'm going to call it a sell. It's reasonably priced, but, you know, their items are expensive discretionary items, products, Indian motorcycles. What else do they make? Snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles. You know, those are things you don't need to buy and probably won't buy if you're worried, if you have lost your job or worried about losing your job. So, you know, until things kind of grow again on the employment front, I think you should stay away from companies like Polaris.
PII, Polaris Industries, that was a fold.
Tell them to sell!
Last, in the limited time we have left, for Dan in Williston, Vermont, it's Huntington Bank Shares, ticker symbol HBAN.
Oh, boy, banks have really suffered for two reasons. The flat yield curve, ultra-low interest rates right now, plus the possibility for growing bad loans due to the economic weakness, and they have been punished as stocks. I'm going to call Huntington Bank a hold right now. The stock has dropped quite a bit. But you have to remember, banks are much stronger than they were 10 years ago in the last financial crisis. They have more capital, more liquidity, and a government that is doing everything it can to help businesses stay solvent. So, you know, I wouldn't rush out to buy banks right now, but if you own them, I would hold them.
So we finish with a hold, a true hold on HBAN, Huntington Bank Shares.
I don't want people dumping their shares.
And unfortunately, we can't hang on any longer to Peter Tuz because we've run out of time. But Peter, always great to chat with you. Stay safe. Come back with us again soon.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Stay safe as well.
That's Peter Tuz, everybody. He's president of Chase Investment Counsel. Learn more about the firm and Chase Growth Fund at chaseinv.com.